Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
England will face Spain in the Euro 2024 final after that last-minute strike from Ollie Watkins sealed. It was a dramatic 2-1 victory over the Netherlands last night. The goal came after 89 minutes and 59 seconds. And it's the first time England have ever reached a major final on foreign soil. That'll be against Spain on Sunday. They will attempt to become the European champions for the first time in their history. Well, Rachel Burden is a presenter with BBC Radio 5 Live Breakfast, and Rachel is on the line. And Rachel, I want to talk about that really brilliant night for England in just a moment, but it's been a very difficult 24 hours for the BBC Sport family after the deaths of the wife and daughters of racing commentator and your colleague, John Hunt.
Yeah, it's been absolutely devastating, Claire. Thanks very much. I mean, he is so loved by the BBC Sport family and anyone who comes into contact with him. He's one of those, well, not just supremely talented sports commentators, but just a really generous, fabulous man. And I think everyone is completely devastated, shell-shocked, finds the whole thing incomprehensible. So I know that a lot of love has been sent to John. The kind of big BBC family is wrapping their arms around him at the moment. And there was a lot of live sport going on yesterday, not just the Euros, but we've got Wimbledon at the moment. We've got the cricket going on as well. So I think it was pretty tough for a lot of people. But as you yourself know as well, you have those days where you talk about really difficult stories that might have kind of close personal impact, and at the same time you've got other stuff going on that's bringing people loads of joy, and you just have to balance the two out. And certainly the nation has been given a bit of a lift by England making it to this final.
Absolutely. I mean, that challenge of doing what you do and leading a nation into that really crucial game last night, and it wasn't an easy task, but it was testament to you and to all of your colleagues that everyone just got on with the job at hand despite the circumstances. And listen, let's talk about the game now, because we were all wondering, we've been talking about the Euros so much on this programme and right across all of our programmes here, wondering if this England team was ever going to ignite. And last night it really did. I mean, well, certainly in the first half.
In the first half, exactly. And I know that so many of your listeners will be familiar with all these players because they'll be following Premier League teams and they'll be scratching their heads saying, but, you know, Phil Foden doesn't play like that for Man City. You know, where are we going to see the best of Jude Bellingham and so on? But last night, I don't know, they just seemed to push it up a gear. And the conversations that have been taking place on our radio shows, on social media over the last couple of weeks are kind of dominated by the negative comments around Gareth Southgate, because they tend to be the ones that shout the loudest.
Yeah.
And there was a sense that they would need to kind of step up and show what they can do, that they could be the sum of their parts, really, because they haven't been that. And it just seemed to kind of click together and gel last night. But it wasn't just that first half performance. It's also the substitutions,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
It happened with Ivan Toney. It happened last night, bringing on Ollie Watkins. And that absolutely sublime goal in the dying second of normal time, when we were all preparing ourselves for extra time and in all likelihood penalties. I cannot tell you the relief. The relief!
Rachel, in our house, we said, oh, listen, let's move from the kitchen into the sitting room for extra time. Sat down on the sofa and bam! Ollie Watkins scores the winner.
Well, stay in the sitting room for the final,
exactly,
please, if you wouldn't mind.
Exactly. And listen, Gareth Southgate, he's been through such a hard time, and now I see people saying that he should get a knighthood. How quickly these things can turn.
Yeah, well, apparently there was chatter that actually that knighthood is going to come his way whatever happens on Sunday.
Okay.
But that was kind of in the bag. I think that even if people have some doubts about his kind of tactical nous and whether he always gets the strategy right for the England team, the one thing that everyone is pretty much agreed on is that he has created this cultural transformation within the England camp and a sense of togetherness and brotherhood that was missing for years. And it's easy to kind of forget that the England camp was often riven with just factional kind of dynamics that really worked against them then when they were playing in tournaments. And he has created this amazing squad, not just the starting 11 or those on the bench, but it goes really deep into the squad where everyone knows that they are contributing to the entire performance. And that, I think, really, particularly in a tournament, that kind of resilience and sense of fighting and playing for each other, I think that has really worked for them. And most people give Gareth Southgate credit for that. So, yeah, I think there'll be a lot fewer people on his back today than there were a week or so ago.
And listen, much talk about the controversy around the penalty today. What are people saying about that?
Nah, we're not worried about that. It's old news. We've moved on. I mean, look, we talked to on our programme to a couple of Dutch, like Mario Melchiot, former Dutch player this morning, a Dutch fan earlier on in the programme. And they were so gracious about it. Yes, they felt, and a lot of it, people watching England or wherever will have felt that that penalty decision against Holland was pretty harsh. We can debate that for ages. But the point is, you get decisions for and against you in any kind of tournament. You have to just go with it. And I think England, had they played badly and got one lucky penalty decision, it would have felt more unjust. But I think overall, they completely dominated Holland in the first half. They put together a much better performance. They had, you know, a number of really good goal scoring opportunities, but perhaps unlucky not to have gone ahead anyway. So, you know, I think, look, do I think it was a penalty? We were arguing in our own sitting room about that. I didn't think it was. My husband and daughter thought it definitely was. We move on. It's all about Spain now, because that's a whole other question.
Well, it certainly is. We'll talk about that in a minute. I could barely watch Harry Kane taking that penalty. I find it really difficult to watch penalties anyway, but he was so slow to take it. I thought, what's he doing? And then he explained afterwards that he had a sore foot because of, you know, I think maybe justifying the fact that it was a penalty. But what a moment for him.
Well, yeah, and you've got to understand, as an England fan for whom penalties have caused so much pain in the past, then to kind of have it all turned around for us and watched what happened against Switzerland, and you're like, my God, you know, how far we've come to see those five perfect penalties. I felt relatively relaxed when Harry Kane stepped up last night. And I think loads of us were even sitting there thinking, you know what, fine, if it goes to extra time and penalties, we've got this. Yeah. We're going to be fine. And that is such a mind shift from where England was, you know, a few years ago.
I have Miguel Delaney on the line as well, chief football writer at the London Independent. And Miguel, do you agree that this was the England that people wanted to see, that they were waiting to see? One of your colleagues in the paper today saying it felt a bit like a club game. This was England with fire in their bellies at last.
For about 30 minutes, maybe. And then, like, I mean, there's almost two sides to England, really. There is this very impressive will that has taken them through. There's a real resolve of the team. There's immense individual quality. And one of the big debates has been over whether that individual quality has been not even maximised, or whether it's like there's been a sense of playing within themselves. And yet, they grind through it. The elements of how they've won games from, if you look at the knockouts alone, last minute equalisers give them in against Slovakia, penalty shootout against Switzerland, and then obviously a last minute winner last night. That kind of fosters this momentum and or emotional momentum belief that your name is on the trophy. That said, if you look at this in coldly football terms and technical and tactical elements, for 30 minutes last night, they were really good. It felt like they'd stepped up. The team was working well. Mm-hmm. And then Ronald Koeman, the Dutch manager, made quite a simple switch in basically going man for man in the midfield. And it really completely neutered England. And if you look how they won the game, before the goal, Netherlands looked like the only winner at that point. But it goes back to what we're saying. Southgate and England had these superior individual options that ultimately told. Now, if we see a similar situation against Spain, I don't think England can win the game in that situation, because Spain are a much better team than the Netherlands.
But now, Miguel, listen, as you know, right, no tournament in history has a team gone through the tournament playing perfectly, got to the final and won it, right? So you can have
perfection
with Spain.
That's not true, though.
You need your peaks and troughs. You need the resilience that comes from being a bit crap at first. That's what it boils down to.
But equally, there have been examples of teams that have grown into a tournament and then ultimately fallen away towards the end. Now, look, I think Spain are favourites going into the final, but England do have this kind of, again, as I say, it's a real emotional momentum. I think they can create chaos in the game. And equally, there's a really strong quality there, which is this perseverance they've got. I mean, the story of England's tournament has basically been, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. In everything, in the campaign itself, like some of the earlier debates and complaints from about Southgate and his decisions, they feel irrelevant now. He's been vindicated by a lot of his decisions in terms of kind of the way the games have gone, as they say, something like finishes. And of course, how the players, a lot of players that haven't started games have ended up coming on and making a difference. Be that Ivan Toney twice with a penalty and an assist. Watkins, obviously, with the goal last night. Trent Alexander-Arnold, the penalty against Switzerland. And that has kind of fostered this sense of togetherness around England that, again, can have a really powerful effect and a persuasive effect on the team going into the final. But I think they have to bring all that to the absolute maximum to beat Spain. That said, on the other side, to be fair, England do actually have recent experience of being in a final. Spain, this is their first final since 2012 in the glory era. And there was maybe just a slight hint in the French game. I was at the semi-final on Tuesday where they were not quite nervy towards the end, but the French looked like, had the game gone on a bit longer, the French could have got to him. And I think England, actually, strangely now, despite Mbappe being the French team, England do have more attacking quality. But funny, you say there about kind of growing into a tournament or, you know, perfect the way through. There are actually a lot of echoes with last summer's Women's World Cup, the run. And I think that speaks to the kind of the wider football cultures of about how these two national teams across mm-hmm. the two federations have put together. Spain always played to an idea. England have been about kind of a greater pragmatism.
Yeah, Rachel, how do you feel about this match on Sunday? Because you have a team in Spain who have knocked out France, Italy, Germany. They have the wonder kid. They have the 16-year-old Lamine Yamal. It's really putting it up.
They're tired.
To England.
This is the thing, Claire. They'll be knackered by Sunday. No, look, in all honesty, when I watched that Spain-France game, I texted everyone I know saying there's absolutely no way England stand a chance against, well, either of those two teams. And I suppose my head still tells me that. But I just hope a little bit of luck, a little bit of self-belief, a little bit of cockiness. And there's nothing wrong with that in a football team. You know, that might just make the difference. But yeah, I mean, logically, it should be Spain's to lose, right?
Mm-hmm.
But let's see. We'll keep our fingers crossed.
Oh, listen, I think it sets us up for a really juicy final, and I can't wait for it. And I will sit in the sitting room for the entire thing, Rachel. I'm going to take your advice
for
sure. Rachel and Miguel, thank you both very much for joining us. And you can watch the Euro 2024 final between Spain and England on Sunday on RT2. Coverage starts at 7 with the kickoff at 8.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.